So welcome to this episode of Priestly Passion, where I interview priests in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. Today I'm speaking with Father T.J. Dulce, who serves as a priest at St. Martha Catholic Church, located in Kingwood, Texas, which is up 59 North, typically a little distant from our normal purview that we do in Houston, but it's great to be in the Kingwood area with Father Dulce. So thank you for coming today.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before we came into the office, the interesting thing about this parish is I came here for reconciliation one Saturday, and the priests here were really welcoming and very enthusiastic about offering the sacrament and offering and extending Jesus Christ in that format. So I was really happy to come back here and speak with either one of the priests I spoke to that one time, just to get that perspective on what it means to be a priest. Mm-hmm. So let's get started with you. How many years have you been a priest?
I've been a priest. I was ordained in May of 2009, so about 10 and a half years I've been a priest.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit of background about, like, your upbringing? Did anybody see anything in you that was like, hey, you should be a good candidate for a priesthood? Can you give us some information about your seminary life and, like, your ultimate track from young to now, sort of thing?
That's a lot of questions. I'll try to unpack it for you, though. So I grew up in the Houston area, and Houston, Texas is home. That's where my family is. I grew up in the northwest part of town. Okay. So I grew up going to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Mm-hmm. I got my sacraments there, First Communion and Confirmation. But the first inkling, the first call I had of priesthood was we had a priest, a pastor at St. Elizabeth, Father Tony, who was real big about trying to get young men to think about priesthood. And I remember being an altar server and growing up, and he would constantly have conversations with us in the sacristy, to the servers. Hey, any of you guys ever thought about priesthood? And at the time, when I was, you know, a middle school student, I don't think that's what I want to do. But he kept at it, and God started working. I think that was the first time that God planted that seed in my heart and my mind to think, hey, you could do this. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Father Tony starting to tell parishioners, hey, if you know any young people from this parish you think would be good priests or nuns, tell them. And so when he started doing that, a lot of people came up to me and said, hey, TJ, we think he's talking about you. Mm-hmm. We see you serving. We see you involved. I was one of those students who really loved CCE and being a part of the youth group and those kind of things, and the parishioners saw that. So by the time I got into high school, probably 50 parishioners had told me, hey, have you ever thought about priesthood? Mm-hmm. And so when it was time to choose a college and go to college, I started to think that was a possibility. And it was something my parents growing up would say, hey, when you guys, I have a younger brother, and they would say that growing up. My parents said, when you guys are thinking about what to do with life, we're Catholic. Think about priesthood. And so I did. And so all of that, God put in that little crock pot that's my heart, and mm-hmm. just started using that. And then when I went to college, I decided to go to the University of St. Thomas, partly because I love the Catholic environment there. I mean, there was 20 priests that were living on campus. They had Mass four times a day. We had to take at least 9 hours of theology as an undergrad, and those ended up being my favorite classes. Mm-hmm. And so I said, man, this is really something I think I might end up doing. So by the time I graduated college, I had a pretty good sense that God was inviting me to consider looking into priesthood. And shortly after I graduated, I remember meeting with the vocation director and saying, I need some time to process and discern. And started going to discernment groups for the diocese, went on retreats, and finally decided that, hey, I think I want to be a priest. I think I want to go to seminary. Mm-hmm. That cover all that?
Yeah,
get all those questions?
That's definitely good. So two things that you mentioned that I just want to touch on briefly. About you being an altar server, do you think that's like a good formation to help children possibly discern for the future about the priesthood? Do you think that's still
it was for me, mm-hmm. and I do think it is, because if kids are serving at church, they get that idea of what it means to serve. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was. I mean, I remember as a kid thinking I'm in the best seat in the house. I am as close to anybody in what's going on right here. Mm-hmm. And be able to hold a book for the priest, be able to wash his hands, kneeling right there by the altar when he's consecrating. It was beautiful, and it was essential for my formation. Mm-hmm. And talked to a lot of guys who were in seminary, guys who are priests now. They got their start the first time they started thinking about it. It was when they were altar servers.
Mm-hmm. And then in addition, you mentioned that your parents, they mentioned that, hey, you know, this is a Catholic family, and keep this as a viable option. Did they always, like, reinforce that, or did they not shove it down your throat, but did they like gently always nudge at that notion of, hey, keep this as an option?
My parents were always super supportive of it. And we went to Mass every weekend. And a lot of our life as a parish, as a family, was at the parish. I mean, we were there all the time. We were at church doing something. Mm-hmm. And so it became something that, for my brother and I, it's like, this is part of who we are. So when they would say, be open to priesthood, okay, well, we'll be open. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that was instrumental in my formation, one of my dad's best friends growing up ended up becoming a priest. Mm-hmm. And so we would see him, he would come over and visit, and we'd go out, when we'd visit dad's hometown in Port Arthur area, we'd go to Mass where he was the priest. And so it wasn't foreign for me to say, hey, this is what a priest looks like. And he's a regular guy, you know, he likes sports, he loved to read. Mm-hmm. He could talk about normal topics, and so I saw him when he wasn't wearing his clerics. I saw him as like, oh, he's a regular guy. He's a friend of my dad's. We went to college together. Mm-hmm. So that was something else that was inspirational to me, to see. I saw what a priest looked like. Mm-hmm. I saw that he was a regular person, and it wasn't far out of the realm for me to think that could be me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good. Sort of like a role model sort of thing. Oh, yeah. So talk about your assignments. Have you always served here at St. Martha, or have you floated around different parishes in Houston, Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston?
Yeah, I feel so blessed. You know, and you say that. First of all, I want to say I'm a priest of the Archdiocese, mm-hmm. because I love this city. Mm-hmm. I love the people here. I love the culture here. I love my local sports teams.
Right.
I even tolerate the traffic and the mosquitoes and the August heat and the flooding that we get occasionally. I mean, this is my home, and this is where I serve. And that's the thing about being a diocesan priest is I want to serve the people that help me learn about faith. So, yeah, here I am as a priest in the Archdiocese. I feel so blessed because I'm back at St. Martha's. When I was first ordained in 2009, this was my first assignment as a priest.
Oh, okay.
So I served here for 3 years, and then I served a year at Mary Magdalene in Humble, mm-hmm. and then I was named administrator at St. Thomas More down in Southwest Houston, mm-hmm. and I did that for a year, and then I worked for 4 years as the vocation director for the diocese. Oh. And then in 2018, when Father Borski, the pastor that was here, retired, he really advocated for me to take his place as the next pastor of St. Martha's, and so I got to come back to the place where I did my first assignment here. So it's neat being the pastor of the place where I got my start. My heart first started beating as a priest here.
Yeah.
And now it continues to beat, just in a different role.
Yeah, that's pretty unique and rare that actually happened, that you can come back to the place where you first got your feet wet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question that I always go to is, you know, we're called to love God and love neighbor, mm-hmm. as our Lord and Savior taught us and commanded us to. How do you bring that into like your vocation as a priesthood every day? Like, how do you love God and love neighbor and show that to people?
Throughout my life, I've had an incredible sense that God loves me and he has a plan for me. And what's motivated me to be a priest is I want to share with other people that love that he's given me. I want other people to feel and experience the kind of love that I've felt my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I live it out. By being able to offer the sacraments for people, by being able to just minister to them and walk with them in their time of needs, I want them to see and experience the same love that God's given me, that I can share with them. And so whatever that means for priesthood, whatever people need, if they need help with marriage problems or difficulty with family, or they're dealing with the grief of a lost job or a loved one, or they want to talk through some joy and some experience of God's incredible love, I get to do that.
Do you do that a lot? Are you engaged with families, couples, individuals a lot?
Yes.
Or the community and like various needs that they have?
Yes. Yeah, whatever people need. I mean, that's why we're here as priests. And the people of this parish, they recognize that we as the priests that are serving them, we're here for them whenever they need. Mm. And so, yeah, I get to do stuff like marriage prep and walk with people on the journeys of illness and sickness, and then the funerals that come from those, and then just being available to help out with whatever needs that people have.
Mm. Oh, well, that's a really good way to like position yourself in the parish and be in, or sort of juggle different hats and show that you like love the people that you are called to serve there in the parish. So that's really good. So the next question is a personal question for you in regards to like saints. So I noticed you have like a lot of different saint images and icons in your office. Do you have any particular saints that you admire and like a lot? And in addition, like what's something that you learned from them in your vocation as a priest?
Well, TJ stands for Thomas Joseph.
Okay.
So I had a strong connection to the Thomas saints. I went to the University of St. Thomas, named after St. Thomas Aquinas. Mm-hmm. So big devotion to him.
His knowledge. Thomas
yeah, and Thomas More. I served to Thomas More. And that was another great example of a Thomas who was willing to sacrifice his life to say, I'm not backing down from the truths of the church. And then all my life, I really admired St. Thomas the Apostle, the doubting apostle. And look, Lord, unless I touch you, unless I put my hands on the side of your wound, I won't believe. But just that desire for him to say, I want to touch, I want to believe, and that's, you know, something that we have, this desire that I want to see it and believe it. So yeah, the Thomases have been an incredible inspiration for me, and then John Vianney was a big one. I'd worked as a youth minister, John Vianney, right before I went to seminary, and mm-hmm. So being there at the parish is named after him, and getting to know his life story, and when I was in seminary, really relied on his prayers a lot. Through the seminary journey. He was a priest that wasn't really thought of as a great student, but did incredible things to serve God and his kingdom. So mm-hmm. great saint to look up to and to ask for prayers, especially in ministry as a priest.
Is that close by, like, the medical center, right? Like,
it's on the west side of town. Okay. So, like, I-10 between Derry, Ashford, and Eldridge.
Okay.
Like, the memorial area.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet place. If you haven't been there, check it out. It's a neat parish.
Okay. I sure certainly will do that. So something else that you touching back on a previous question about serving with love, how do you incorporate joy? That's something I want to touch on more in 2020 when I interview priests, is about joy. Because a lot of priests, not saying all of them, but, you know, a few times I see priests and, you know, I'm sure they are tired and, like, drained, but it just seems like a monotone, like, sort of vibe. So, like, how do you maintain your joy, and, like, what keeps you joyous every day?
What keeps me joyous every day is I get to be a priest of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I get to celebrate the sacred mysteries that lead people to salvation. Mm-hmm. And there's no greater joy I get than being able to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. You know, Mass every day, hearing confessions, anointing those who are sick, and being able to baptize and do weddings. I mean, the joy of the sacraments certainly gets me through. But when I'm celebrating Mass, the excitement and the joy in my heart of, like, this is a little snapshot. This is a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Mm-hmm. And I want other people to experience. When they come to Mass, I want them to experience what that joy of heaven is going to be like.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a really good answer, that they get to preview a foretaste of the beatific vision here on every day or on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So one more question, or two more questions. So a lot of people, they see the priesthood as, or culture sees things as for religion as, like, unfair, and it's like an unfair sacrifice. Like, I have to give up something of value to do this. What would you say to that? Like, oh, I have to sacrifice my plans, my dreams, my goals in order to drop my ball and pick up where God wants me to go.
I don't think they have to be exclusive like that. I think that God might invite us to use the gifts and talents he's given us to serve his kingdom. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, I can't have any fun, I have to do this other thing instead. Maybe God says, hey, these are the gifts I've given you. I want you to use them, and I want you to serve me. So they can be joined together. The idea of sacrifice and faith, it certainly happens, because God sacrificed everything. Mm-hmm. He gave us a son mm-hmm. who died for us. And says, I'm doing this for you because I want you to experience eternal salvation. So yeah, there is a sense, just because we're religious people, that there is sacrifice. And we're going to have to sacrifice mm-hmm. because this isn't our final home.
Right.
Our final home is heaven. That's where we're going to go. So we're going to have to sacrifice something from this world so we can keep our eyes on the heavenly banquet.
Okay. So do you have, like, a sports ministry here or something?
Do I have a sports
that's like
ministry?
That's like your thing that you didn't give up, that you use to spread the gospel? That's a joke.
Yeah, no, I got you. I don't give it up. I mean, you talk to any of my people, and they'll tell you probably half the time in my homilies I use some sort of sports analogy to explain the gospels. Just super excited when Houston sports are doing well, because people are watching it, and it gives people something that is a commonality that we can say, hey, we're looking to this because we're watching these games and we're following these teams, and it's helping us too to grow in our faith journey, in our sports, in our lives.
Well, that's a unique way to look at it too. So the last question is, what would you say to somebody who notices, like, that little spark or that little flare internally? or, you know, some probing little interest that's telling them, like, hey, this might be, the priesthood may be, like, where I want you to go, where God's calling you to go, what would you say to that person?
Take that to prayer. If God wants somebody to be a priest, or a sister for the women, he's going to put that desire on your heart, and it's going to continue to grow. And so we have to treat it like it's a seed that he plants in our heart. And so we have to nurture it. We have to pray. We have to take care of it. We have to serve and to do ministry and to be aware of what that seed is going to grow into. Like, if God is calling a man to be a priest or a woman to be a nun, he's going to continue to make that call deepen and to grow. And it'll be a desire that somebody can't shake. If a person is called to service in the ministry, the Lord is going to continue to make sure that he does everything he can so that person can hear that call. But pray about it. Think about it. Talk to people. The vocations office in the Archdiocese has wonderful opportunities and programs, retreats and groups and prayer experiences and mission trips or mission experiences that they can go on to figure out, what is this, what I want? Is this what God's calling me to do? So if that's something that anyone out there is listening, if you've been called, if you feel like God might be calling you, take that to prayer. Be open to it. Let it grow. Nurture that call.
Yeah, that's definitely a good word of advice to all people discerning whatever vocation that whatever vocation that is, whether that be to the priesthood, religious life, or even marriage as a vocation. You know, just always be attentive to God speaking and take it to prayer, because you can't dismiss prayer. And, you know, prayer is how we seek intimacy with God every day. So that's all we had today for our interview with you, Father. And I appreciate you taking out your time and providing us with, like, your experience and your background about as a priest in Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. And I can tell that just from sitting here with you for almost 20 minutes that you are, like, very enthusiastic about the joy that you have serving here at St. Martha. And you really are concerned and, like, super ecstatic about being a priest in Houston. You know, I haven't seen too many priests, I mean, who have said they, like, hey, they're super ecstatic about Houston. And, like, you show that Houston is the place to be. And Houston is the place to be. It's the third or fourth largest city. It's diverse. It's a lot of things to be joyous about in the city. And to see a priest who is super passionate and, like, super on fire for the Lord is always good. So thank you for coming today.
My pleasure. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, so that's all we have today. Make sure you stay tuned for the next episode of Priestly Passion, where I interview priests in Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston.